Welcome to the Ralph Moore Podcast. Gain the leadership advantage as Ralph pulls wisdom from his bag of over 50 years' experience in planting and leading multiplying churches. Our goal is to help you live as a leader you'd want to follow. You'll learn about making disciples and planting churches, but beyond that, you'll gain practical wisdom about subjects like how to manage your team, handling difficult people, pulling a congregation off a growth plateau, and even money management.
Hey, this is part two of my interview with my friend Josh Burnett, and it's all about impacting your life and making you more effective with what you do with less time, trying to save you maybe 160 hours, 40-hour work weeks by four in a year. Very easily, we can accomplish that through this very, very powerful tool that's been made just for you as a pastor or a Christian leader. For me, as a writer, I'm just getting incredible benefit out of this thing. I'll get into it in the interview. This podcast is probably more important to people who are doing microchurch or bivocational guys than guys that are full-time, because full-time, you know, somebody's paying the freight. If you're doing double duty, then leveraging your time is massively important. I hope you get a lot out of this one.
We made a little prototype and sent it out to, you know, a bunch of my friends who are all, you know, in ministry, and they were like, you've got to do this. People will eat this up. And so, So that's how church.tech kind of got its start.
So
long story, I feel like.
No, I love it. I think the church totally misses vertical integration. We do what I call popcorn. We have a program for this, a program for that. We divide families up in different things all the time. And we totally ignore the power of Sunday morning or whatever it is, the main thing you do. The sermon-based small groups are the key to whatever we did in Hope Chapel, because we integrated everything, and then we tried to reduce program as much as we could, because we were dumping so much money into church planting that we couldn't afford the programs. And we found that we could accomplish almost everything if we saw Sunday morning as a kind of Ephesians 2, Ephesians 4 moment. These people that have gathered here are God's masterpiece. Our job is to equip them to do works of ministry. And then the way we're going to do that is Acts chapter 2. We're going to do some of it in the temple, so the Sunday morning deal, and some of it in the small group, and that they're going to align with each other. And so we found leadership development just naturally poured out of that. It was such an easy thing for us to multiply churches the way that we did. And so this is why I am so extremely excited about church.tech, and I'm excited about it. And I want you to spend a little bit more time talking about the relationship between the app for the nonprofit and the birth of church.tech, because I mean, you've expanded my mind already in 20 minutes together here, in that I never really, really explored the concept in all the years that I did this of churches really joining hands with nonprofits or NGOs. We created some, you know, we Skid Row Mission, we created some overseas things, but we never thought of working with the secular groups that were in our community and how we could invade those. In fact, we did a couple times and we failed, but we never ever saw it as anything that was ripe for fruitfulness. But then let's do get into church.tech, and I want to talk about church.tech, not only from what I see as a pastor, because I'm retired now, but what I see as a writer, because it's amazing the tools that you've given me, and I'm, you know, I may recommend church.tech more to writers than I do to pastors these days. It's a fun thing. But talk, come back to us and give us a little bit more. Don't be hesitant. Give us the full story here.
Yeah. I mean, the thing that we discovered with partnering with the nonprofit was one, oftentimes. So I'll say it this way, because this is like when we were doing the needs assessment, I had been coached that instead of going as the church to all of these schools and nonprofits, that I should go as a We're setting up a separate nonprofit entity and a church. Like, don't hide it, but like, say there's two sides of this, and you know, this nonprofit's going to be the thing that drives what we do to serve the community, and the church will be the thing that drives the, you know, whatever, the Sunday and making site. They don't, you know, assumed nobody would care about any of that at all and be opposed to that, probably, you know, going to Maryland. Maryland's a more liberal state, you know, kind of the coaching I got. What we discovered was that people were highly skeptical of the fact that we were trying to do two things at one time, and that they were further skeptical when I kind of got into like, here's the church thing. They were like, why wouldn't you just do it as the church? And so, you know, it's kind of one of those, like, this, like, I like short, pithy leadership statements and stuff like that. But I also get a little skeptical when, you know, it sounds like reductionist thinking or advice. But we came up with this phrase of like, you know what, like if we make people deals they can't refuse, they won't refuse them. Mm. Like if I show up and say, you have, I know from looking at all the city's data that they willingly given to us that at this school alone that has 750 students, that 350 of them are on free and reduced lunch. And like those, there are a lot of those kids that are going hungry in the evenings, and we can do something about that. We will provide food to go home with them in backpacks every single day. There's not a school counselor or principal that cares what entity you're showing up as doing that.
Right.
And so, you know, we just discovered that like, hey, if you show up and say like, here's why I'm here. Like I'm here because Jesus has called us to give a cup of cold water in his name, like to look after orphans and widows in distress and to take care of people. The church is supposed to be good news,
yeah.
But I'm going to be good news to you, nonprofit executive director or school principal or school counselor. They're like, we don't care why you're here. Like they're on mission. Like they're on mission with Jesus, and some of them know it and some of them don't.
Mm-hmm.
But being able to demonstrate to them that they're already on mission with Jesus tangibly by joining them in that mission and then earning the right to speak into, man, it's so cool that you love kids this way. This is how God loves kids, you know? That was kind of what we discovered. And that was sort of the foundational principle of like, there's no better deal to offer somebody. There's no better offer than a person who's showing up with a heart for the mission and the skills that that nonprofit desperately needs.
That's great. That's really
so that was kind of, and then, you know, like we technology wise, we built some stuff that's just like really fun stuff. Like most nonprofits struggle with fundraising at large. And, you know, again, principle, like all resources flow through people. What if you could take volunteers who care about your mission or super aligned with your mission? Because a volunteer is 50% more likely to donate to an organization than a non-volunteer.
Mm-hmm.
And what if I could, in 45 minutes, train that person to be a highly effective fundraiser, and with an hour's worth of effort for 2 weeks in a row, they could go raise $4,500 to $10,000 a year for your organization?
You could teach me that. I'd love that.
So we made this app called Latent, Latent is we were going to come back to it eventually, but the whole purpose of the app was to effectively provide people who care about the mission of a nonprofit, whether they be donors or volunteers, the ability to raise funds for that organization simply by sending text messages to people that they already know and believe would be aligned to that mission. Mm-hmm. And invite them. They're not asking for money. They're simply inviting them to participate in the mission of this organization alongside of you. So like the requirement was, if you're going to do this, you have to be a donor and a monthly recurring donor, and you're going to invite people to do what you're doing. And, you know, and then anyhow, yeah. So, you know, it's like, And it works. Like it works. It's not a turnkey system at this stage of the game. Eventually we will turn it into a whole, you know, here's the training, here's how to do it yourself and everything. But it's, you know, that was some of the, that's a fun example of, you know, what we did. We basically identified like what's the hardest problem to solve, and it's fundraising for a nonprofit is like, this is the thing that keeps us from doing the thing we're trying to do is raising funds. So,
yeah, no, I mean, the thing that keeps afloat what I'm doing, the podcast, all of the stuff that I put out there, we had a real big stumbling block in the last 2 years. And just the last 5 minutes, what you shared, the idea of donors recruiting other donors has never crossed my mind. And I feel better equipped for just having this little time together. Thank you.
Well, you know, the thing that I haven't said yet is when you came over and sat down next to me at Exponential West a couple of years ago, I was freaking out and like shaking a little bit because you're one of my heroes in terms of, you know, just like I've read your books. I've followed you for, you know, my whole youth, basically, like, you know, as I was like seeking to be a church planter that started a church that started churches, like, you know, you were the example. And at New Life was even, you know, that was even further reinforced of like, man, this, like, Ralph is doing this. And so, you know, when we got to know each other, I was just like, oh my gosh, like one of my heroes is like sitting here talking to me. And so I say all that to say, let's do a fundraising campaign together. I would love to do that. So I don't know if I can say that in your podcast, but
yeah, I'd love that. It's, we'll talk later.
Yeah.
Well, let's go to church.tech. I just let me preface it a little bit. I met Josh and I was busy creating some courses that I was going to offer for free online. You can actually get them from newbreed.org. And I was struggling with content. I was downloading a lot of my blogs, trying to classify the blogs, group them together because I had generated all this content and I'm really into content stacking. So I'm trying to reuse what I've done. I've got all these books. I'm trying to put all that together. And I hear my friend Jason talking to Josh, and I didn't know Josh. And so I very humbly went over there and asked, would it be possible for me? Because the barrier in my mind was I'm no longer a lead pastor. I'm not even sure this is for me, but I can see how it would benefit me. Would you let me into your program? And what I met was what you just heard. And so a new friendship was born. And I just, you know, what you don't know is, I mean, this conversation is really positive for me. I'm sitting here in a hotel in 100 miles away from where I live, getting ready to go have a last party with a friend of mine who's dying of cancer. And we're going to go have pizza and wine and goof off and try to make him laugh a bit. But I'm sitting here and you just said something really important. You said that you spent a lot of your adolescent years following what I was doing. During those years, I was pretty much a social outcast from the church world that all wanted to be Bill Hybels. And we were talking, you got to give away people if we're going to win the world. And honestly, there were times you just wondered who in the world is out there even listening to this stuff. And I was writing books and the books sold enough that, you know, they'd get their money back that they invested, but no book that I wrote is ever going to sell 100,000 copies. And so every time I meet somebody like yourself, it is a super blessing. And I want to say thank you for that. But what I found in church.tech in the beginning was simply that I could very easily throw a sermon up and get a transcription, and then I could get a study guide, and the study guide would then sort of reorganize my thoughts because what I was doing was bringing audio to it. So old sermons, a friend of mine rescued 700, because I'm old enough. Let me back this up. When I handed off the big church in Kaneohe, a couple thousand people, to go start again, I was 66 years old. And I was getting to where I couldn't talk to the junior high kids anymore from Sunday mornings. That was always my measurement. If I can keep the interest of kids that are 12, 13 years old, then I'm going to keep doing this. But when that was over, I handed off. But the last major financial decision I was a part of was we went out and bought this massive hard drive because we were doing video and putting it on public TV and all that. And it was, you're going to laugh when I say this. It was a 10 gigabyte hard drive. So there was no storage for video. We'd make the video, we'd hand it off to the station, and then it would go away. So, but they had stored audio because I was on the radio 15 times a week. A sermon would turn into, they'd usually split them in two and then turn into a couple of radio broadcasts. And so I was able to bring those old audio tapes or MP3s and bring them to you guys. And I came out with something that was cohesive, that the AI had organized it for me. And I could then go back and sort it out and work with it. Now you're doing a lot more than that. And I'm going to let you get into that, and maybe I'll feed into how I use it. But talk to us first from what you're trying to do for a pastor, what you offer to a pastor. Then I'm going to jump in and go, and this is how I use it to help me with one of my current projects that I'm doing.
Yeah. One of the things that has been interesting is we've engaged on the AI front, where when we first got started, people were very skeptical of AI, especially pastors. And, the way that we kind of framed what we were doing was, hey, we want to give you time back, and we want to do it in a way that you don't have to feel bad about. It's not going to write your sermon for you. That's not what we're trying to do. We're trying to help you be with people more often, because I've done a ton of surveying of pastors in the last couple of years. And, this is still true. COVID put us behind screens, but we didn't get out from behind those screens. And those screens facilitate us being able to be together right now. And so where they connect us to people, I think that's a beautiful thing, but where they isolate us, mm-hmm. particularly as a person who was trained in ministry to make disciples, the more time I spend behind this screen trying to figure out social media content or writing curriculum based on my sermon that is, mediocre at best, because I'm not great at that, the less time I'm actually spending, honestly, with God and with my family and with my church and my community. And so the idea was, let's give pastors time back. And now we basically say our goal at church.tech is to make every church more effective at making disciples. We do that by optimizing pastors' time across the board, frankly. Now we are doing sermon preparation, and we're about to roll out some tools that are going to accelerate sermon preparation in some beautiful ways that don't cost you any points on the character and integrity side of things. It's going to take the non-fruitful work of writing a sermon, like doing research. Certainly there's fruit in going to the shelf and pulling a book off and finding the right thing, but if we can optimize that into, hey, I already have the right things, and now I can really make sure that I'm preaching a, truly biblical sermon with the right research in place and bringing that across the cultural bridge into today, we can really radically reduce the amount of time it takes to write a really excellent sermon. And then all the way through to social media, and we're working on some really cool tools that are going to take sermon content and turn it into interactive content for church members to be able to kind of see and recognize the discipleship journey that God has them on, who they're called to be and become, and who God has called them to reach, and give them feedback on that journey as they are going. So that's broad spectrum, somewhat abstract. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to help pastors and staff members be more effective at making disciples and equipping the saints for the work of the ministry, as you have said.
So now dive down into nuts and bolts and tell us, what you find when you go to church.tech and the headers, the tools that are there, and especially the playground.
Yep. Absolutely.
If you enjoyed today's podcast, be sure to subscribe and check his blog at ralphmoore.net.